Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to episode number 79 of the Voice of Indie podcast. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing fine. I'm sitting here listening to the steady drum of rain outside. It's been raining like crazy in Alabama, and it's going to keep raining, too.
We've been getting snow since about 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's just continual, nonstop, steady. Last I checked here a few hours ago, we were at about 10.5 inches with up to 4 more inches on top of that coming through the night. So, yuck. I'm ready for spring.
I'm going to have to rush up there in August and see what that looks like.
Yeah.
So I did see my hand surgeon today. Those of you who have been following my saga of both broken hands, and she tells me, she'd like to have seen things go a little quicker, but she's still confident and told me, plan on maybe another 6 months before I get close to having full use, which is a little bit aggravating, a little frustrating, but doing what I have to do. I did want to mention recently we had James Welpley on the show, and when I got ready to read his bio, that which I had just pasted into our rundown right before showtime, I spotted a typo and I pointed it out to him. And later on, a friend mentioned to me, he said, it sounded kind of like you were calling him out, like, hey, I found a typo. And it's like, man, I hope he didn't take it that way. I hope none of you ever take it that way, because we writers are also editors. Whether you're a good editor or a bad editor, you're always looking for errors. You're always looking for those things that need to be fixed. And when someone finds something in one of my works and points it out to me, I'm happy, because I take notes. And every book that we publish, we have a data sheet that we have a place in there where if someone finds an error that's not going to be fixed now, we put it in there so that when a time comes and it's time to update those files, we know where all those errors are. So believe me, I wasn't trying to give James a hard time. I was just, hey, by the way, here's something letting you know, get out there and get it fixed. So you got to be a little bit sensitive sometimes around writers, because, we're all real sensitive, aren't we?
Yeah. James is a good guy. And, we hope to have him back on again too, cause he's got another book coming out here before too long, but, yeah, he's a good guy, and I didn't take it that you were calling him out. It was just one of those. Yeah, we're editors. The editorial eye kicked in, and oh, hey.
Yeah.
One of those. Now, it's speaking like, of editorial eyes, this morning's newsletter, for some people, there was a formatting issue where it kind of slid over and did this weird thing. Don't know what that was about, but we're going to fix it, so that should be taken care of for next week's newsletter.
Yeah, when I checked browsers, it looks weird in my Chrome, but not in Firefox or Edge. So,
Yeah. Maybe it's just a Chrome thing, who knows?
Good.
Listeners, if you want to join in tonight, and if you have a question or a comment for tonight's guest, here's how you can do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now and join us on air, or tweet us with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body, and we'll read your comment or question live. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So each week before the podcast, I've been getting into a habit of logging in and doing a quick look just to see what the top 5 print bestsellers are that particular day. And when I did that today, I about fell off my chair, because there's been some surprises lately. Our number one and number two bestseller books are the same book. It's the hardcover outselling the soft cover, which, you've heard me say this recently. We've got a handful of books doing that now, and I didn't think I'd ever be around to see that kind of thing happen. But our best-selling two books right now are both There Must Be Something in the Water by Abigail Hugh Guinea. who is our guest next week. So I guess we've timed that very well. That's the one about the fourth generation descendants of emancipated slaves and people who grew up in this little town in South Carolina and went on to accomplish some very great things. It's a very interesting, inspirational, historical, and personal, very personal. You can see there's a lot of personal thought and feelings that went into that and a passion project for that, that we just thought, you know, would be popular among some certain circles or whatever. So I'm just surprised to see that it's really out there doing as well as it is. Our third bestseller right now is American Agony, Dr. Helen Burrell's book, followed by, no surprises here, Hello Chattanooga by David Carroll. It's the hardcover edition that falls in the fourth slot. And then this week, our fifth best-selling print book is Girl Wears Those Shoes by Jenny Wong.
Yeah, and speaking of Jenny Wong, she's really out there working it on social media and various websites and blogs and things like that. And she's putting together finding events. And next week, we'll be announcing her new author website, which will include an e-commerce ability for ordering autographed personalized hardcovers. And I'm currently working on producing her audiobook, so that's coming down the road too, and that's coming along quite nicely, so stay tuned. And we're also working on websites for two other Fresh Ink Group authors. These are new authors, and they've got books in progress right now. So again, keep your ears open for that, and the best way you can do that is by subscribing to our newsletter.
How do you do that, Beam?
Well, I'll tell you. Here's how you subscribe to our newsletter.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? I heard. It's getting to be a kind of a weekly thing here where I give you the update on the status of the Ort Federation, not the Ort Foundation, the Ort Federation by Robert G. Willis-Croft, which is the second Ort Chronicle book. Any second now, that book's going to be on sale, but Dr. Willis-Croft just found a wrong word in the book, and he is persnickety, as I am persnickety, as Beam Weeks is persnickety, and if there's a wrong word and it only takes an extra day to fix it, then we're going to get that thing fixed. So any minute now, that book should be on sale. If you're champing at the bit, and the word is champing, not chomping. Misused all the time.
All the time.
If you're champing at the bit and want to order it, just check in a few days, and it should be out there pretty soon. If not, by next week's newsletter and next week's podcast, we hope to get that announcement in place. But Robert G. Willis-Croft has a lot of great books you need to check out. He's got, this will be the second Ort Chronicle book. So if you've not read the first one, Icicle, you want to get on that. He's got three Mac McDowell Mission Cold War Submarine Thriller books, working on the fourth one right now. He's got his Star Child Science Fiction series, which has got a trilogy, plus a four-book Daedalus series. That's all part of that as well. Plus, he's working on a new book with a friend of his, a submariner, 3 years of submarine shenanigans, and he's got a children's book and a book about facts and some other stuff out there, too. So Robert G. Willis-Croft, if you can't order the Ort Federation yet, go order another Willis-Croft book, and then we'll get you back next week and get you on that other one.
Yeah. And listen up, authors, writers, those of you who enjoyed the short form, we still need entries for both short stories, Fresh Ink Group short story showcases. Now, these are short stories and personal essays, and you'll have a chance to get yours published in one of our books. So it's an anthology, and we're trying to put these together on a yearly basis and build something with that. And here's how you can do that.
Hey writers, got a short story looking for a prestigious anthology that will showcase your work alongside other top authors? Or maybe you've experienced a moment worth sharing, perhaps with some poignant meaning we could all appreciate. Fresh Ink Group is accepting submissions for our second and third volumes of the Fresh Ink Group Short Story Showcase to be released in hardcover, softcover, and all major ebook formats worldwide. There are no fees to enter. Winners are not only published, but are invited to become members with their own dashboard in the FreshInkGroup.com website. Head over to FreshInkGroup.com's Contests tab to learn more. Then grease up the old Underwood and get those shorts down so you can get your entries in sooner than later. And you readers, discover 49 wondrous tales already released in the Fresh Ink Group Short Story Showcase No. 1, available now in all formats worldwide.
Gee, I should have listened to that back when I wrote that. Get those shorts down. That sounds like directions from a proctologist or something. But as the commercial said, it's the contests tab at freshinkgroup.com, and there's a lot more information there about what we mean by short fiction or personal experience essays, which are kind of like mini memoirs, a lot of people are calling those, where you tell a real event story, you know, something that you've experienced or had been told to you, and find a little bit of meaning in it. Just a few pages, 600 words, 1,000, couple thousand words, something like that. So get on over to that tab, learn more about our contest, and start sending some entries. Now, you FIG authors, Fresh Ink Group authors out there, if we've published your books or you're a member, our guy who's doing marketing and social media stuff for us, who puts together the newsletters, Samuel, and he's Sam at freshinkgroup.com. He's been booking some events for some of our authors now that things are starting to open up a little bit in some parts of the country and people are looking ahead toward planning events for this summer. If you're interested in talking to Sam, let us know. And he can help you set up some of those kinds of things. He's got some ideas. He's looking for you to share some of your ideas with him. Tell us what you've done in the past, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and be creative about it. You know, we've been doing some things like there's these giant used media stores called McKay's where you can buy used books and whatnot. And these places are massive. So we'll go in and set up like table in the lobby. So everybody who goes in and out of that place has to walk past this. And we just set up a stack of books and have an author sitting there and just meet and greet, sign people, sell copies of the books. Another one that's worked real well for us is libraries. Libraries, a lot of times, are desperate to have some kind of events that bring people from the community in to discover that they have a local library. You'd be surprised. A lot of people don't even know that what that building down the street yeah. is and what they do in there. Man, it looks real suspicious. People going in and out all the time, carrying bags of stuff, you know. But we've done some real successful ones of those where they'll, you know, like even the people who run the library, they'll make some baked goods or whatever and send it out in their newsletter, put it on Facebook, try to get 100 people to show up, put some snacks out, and then have the author come in and maybe do a reading and answer some questions or whatever. But anyway, we're going to, you know, now that we're starting to actually see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel and have things open up a lot more for us again, we're really going to put some emphasis on that this year and trying to get some events going for some of our authors. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, and we're also doing things like booking blog tours and guesting on these podcasts right here. So, you know, this is a good opportunity for you writers out there. If you're interested in booking a blog tour, if you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, shoot me an email, beam@freshinkgroup.com, and we'll see what we can do for you.
And by podcast guesting, he also means other podcasts, because that's one of the things that Beam is working on. He's putting together a list of other podcasts out there that feature authors. And we've got a couple of nice invites from some very good podcasts. And in fact, we're setting up to have musician Mark Herndon be on an international podcast sometime in the next couple of weeks, too. So we're going to start building our Rolodex of who out there in the world is doing podcasts and interested in having our people on. And then we're going to be bugging you, saying, hey, you know, we got these podcasts. Let's get you booked. Let's get you out there, get you some exposure. So, again, talk to us. And if you know of podcasts like that you think we ought to know about, share that information with us.
Yeah, we're trying to network. That way it works for everybody. And if you miss an episode of this podcast, here's how you can go back into the archives and take a listen.
If you miss a show, find us in the archive in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com, beamweeks.com, and stephengees.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
All right. Now, in today's newsletter, if you click, there's a placard there talking about the all the past podcast that we have up on YouTube. If you click on that placard, it will take you channel and the whole list of all of the past podcasts will be on there. So go over there and check that out. And every episode that we've done is on there. We, you know, a few days after this show is done, I'll put the new episodes up there on YouTube. So get over there and check that out.
Yeah, now if you go to the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, and if you do and you haven't subscribed, please do, because I'm telling you, I just get really, really excited. And I think Beam does too when we see that subscriber number go up. But if you go over there to that channel, you'll find, you know, like 80 podcasts. We're about 75, 76 book trailers now that we've made. We've got interviews and other things that aren't part of these podcasts. We've got some short, you know, like short audiobooks, short stories done audiobook style with music and sound effects. There's a ton of stuff there. But what he's talking about in this case is specifically the playlist of just the podcasts. And in next week's newsletter, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to put a link in there for the playlist of just the book trailers. Now, if you think that, you know, going and seeing like a James Bond movie is exciting, sit and watch 75 of our book trailers and see if you can do that and keep your heart calmed down. I'm telling you, it's wild and crazy. So, yeah, get out there and check that stuff out. But let's get to today's guest. Dr. Aichen Chang Lim is a semi-retired optometrist, a multi-award-winning author, a wife, and a mother of two children and one poodle mix named Gabby. Yeah, we met Gabby the other day when we were talking on the phone. She and her husband had a private optometry practice in Los Angeles. They live in Orange County, California. Aichen modeled during college in Taiwan and was in several short films, including a supporting role in the comedy indie feature film called Winning Formula. She has published 5 books in addition to all of that. In August 2021, she received her second master's degree in psychology, focused on developmental psychology. Besides acting, writing, and reading, she loves music, photography, dance aerobics, and a big bear hug. Welcome to the show, Aichen.
Welcome, Aichen.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So are we pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes. It's easy, though. You say it right. What you can do, like, just hold up your index finger, point to your eye, and then eye chin. Just eye like chin. What you say. Perfect.
Ah, all right.
All right. So
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Your bio says you're from Taiwan. How long did you live in Taiwan? And then what was your arc? Did you come from Taiwan to the United States, or did you go somewhere else in the meantime? Where have you lived?
I was born in Taiwan, and I got my degree in University of Taiwan. National Taiwan University. And after I graduated from the National Taiwan University, I came to the USA with a student visa for my master's degree in Texas. So, yeah, I was born there. Now I have been in County California for about 30 years. I'm a Californian now.
Yeah.
I'm a hybrid. You can say I'm a hybrid of Taiwanese and Californian.
All right. Well, do you ever go back to Taiwan, or what is it something that once you left, you don't look back?
Oh, I have been back. Actually, I was scheduled back 10 days from now. I bought my tickets, and I was ready to go on February 11th, but because of COVID things, I decided to reschedule until the summertime. Yeah, my mom's still there. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So what is it that you like about Taiwan the most, other than it just meaning, you know, kind of home to you?
What? Taiwan is a small island, and it's very pretty. It's small but beautiful, and the food is very good. You have mountains, you have a beach. It's my home. It's my hometown. It's my home country. So what can you say? Yeah.
Now, having been born and raised there, what kind of a child were you? What kind of kid were you? Were you into reading and writing at a young age, or is this something that came later?
Well, you know, you say what kind of child. Well, now think about it. I think I must be a little naughty or mischievous. The reason I'm saying that, because I remember my grandma used to say, well, used to threaten me in a way, say, if I don't behave, I would turn into a mouse. And next life, a cat come chasing me. So, but by the way, I grew up dual religion. So what I mean is that both my grandma were Buddhist, but my mother sent me to a kindergarten nearby my house, and which was run by a Lutheran church. So I went to Sunday school every Sunday and visit Buddhist temple with my grandma during the weekdays. So.
Oh, that's a nice mix.
Yeah, but now I'm a Christian, so.
Yeah.
So, but it was nice to understand not just one religion, but really get into the other religion, how they believe, how they practice their faith. So,
yeah.
In terms of our writing, I enjoy reading and writing when I was young. I especially love reading autobiographies and biographies. I like to write as well. During my elementary school, I did send quite a few articles to the children magazines. And I got accepted, but then for some reason, once I got into high school, all my articles got rejected. So I got discouraged. You know how I felt. And I doubted writing ability then. So at the same time, I did very well in science subjects. So I shifted my focus in science classes. I did not really consider being a writer. And like you got into the health care. So it's until, how did I get back to writing? So this is a very good question, though. I think about it. It's about 8 years or 9 years ago. The inner urge of hearing stories, I keep pounding me. I want to write the stories. These are the good stories. I need to get it out. You see, after many years as an optometrist, I have examined many people's eyes, and I see many patients coming back year after year. And then their eyes, they say eyes are the window to a soul. I know it sounds cliche, but the people holding the eyes, the soul is unique. I'm so convinced every person is unique and every soul is precious. And the story of every person has, it's pressure. You know, everybody, regardless who, even you, I really pay attention. They have story to tell. This is something I find is very interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
We look people's eyes. You know, everybody's, the anatomy of human eyes are actually pretty much the same, regardless the race or background. But there are no two eyes are exactly identical. And it's just like everybody, the story are not the same. So I started to get my own experiences and people's stories, and I just want to write them. I want to get those close stories together, and I want to tell a story. So that's how I started to write. I started
yes.
to write again.
You sound like a writer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I cannot pinpoint when I consider myself as a writer alone. I just write the stories and publish them. That's what I wrote.
Well, with five books out, we'll say there's no doubt. There is no doubt anymore. In fact, we'll go ahead and mark February 2nd, 2022. We have declared Aichen a writer, a real writer, and an excellent writer. You know, the stuff that I've read, I've thoroughly enjoyed. Beam, you want to go ahead and roll a commercial in here? And at the same time, we'll exhort people, if you want to call in, the number's 516-453-9902. And, of course, over on Twitter, hashtag Fresh Ink Group, we'll get to your comments.
Yeah, we've got a couple of comments over there right now, so we can get to those after the commercial.
Yep.
As the Oort Federation becomes a major force in the solar system, Braxton Thorpe passes the Federation chairmanship to former U.S. President John Butler. Thorpe's group offers humanity virtual immortality, but Isidor Orlov and his Udakhni Enterprises oppose their every move. While terraforming Mars for more living space, the Mars Reds prove formidable as resistors. If the Asterian Starship fighter pilots are released, will they align with Phoenix or Udakhni? And who will develop the right FTL technology? In this tense space adventure, Thorpe, his team, and Max the Tabby Cat travel to Proxima Centauri and beyond to the Aster system, 84 light years distant. Will Thorpe bring together humans and Asterians in their quest for intergalactic travel? Will long life prove more than mere humans can handle? Grab Icicle, a Tensor Matrix, the first Oort Chronicle, and continue the journey with the Oort Federation to the stars. Proudly published in all print, digital, and sensory-enhanced audiobook by Fresh Ink Group.
Now, if we only had a video for that commercial, huh, Beam?
We do have a video for that commercial.
We do.
We get over to the YouTube, Fresh Ink Group YouTube channel, and hit the like button when you watch it, and watch the rest of them, and hit the like buttons all over that place. Light that sucker up.
And tell everybody you know to subscribe.
Yeah. Now, over on Twitter, we do have some comments. We have, find the first one here, Robert G. Willis Croft.
I've got the first one, Willis Croft. We have 10 inches of snow at 8 degrees in Centennial, Colorado.
All right.
So got some one-upmanship going here between Colorado and Michigan.
Yeah, and Verwayne Greenhall, for those of you who don't know, he's a former Michigander, recently moved to Florida. He sent this tweet that says, that's why I sent you that photo of me raking the yard, Beam, because he sent me some photos of him working in short sleeves and shorts there in the yard, like it's sunny and warm, and I've got 10 feet of snow. It's not 10 feet.
Yeah, well, for context, Verwayne lived in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Upper Peninsula, yeah.
Up there about 15 feet from the North Pole, and now he's living in Florida. So the contrast is...
Up in the UP, it's always cold up there, even
now,
in the summertime.
We're going to check back with him in August when it's 110 degrees and 300% humidity, and he's got 4-inch cockroaches all over the place, but
yeah, and they've got cockroaches down there. They call them palmetto bugs.
Throw a saddle on them
and ride them.
Big ones. Yeah. Marlena Smith says the Voice of Indie podcast is live. Join the fellows of a hashtag Fresh Ink Group as they chat with author Aichen Chang Lim. I think Marlena knows Aichen.
Yeah, and she also says I've only recently learned about McKay's and cannot wait to finally go to one. We're certainly lacking in Cullman.
Now, Cullman's
Alabama.
a cool little town here in northeast Alabama.
Yes, it is.
They've got some funky little places to eat and some cool stuff, and it's beautiful country, no doubt. But Marlena, if you haven't been hip to McKay's, you know, let me know when you're ready, and I'll always ride along. There's one in Chattanooga and one in Nashville, and the third one I think is St. Louis or something like that. But man, those things are great. They're huge, and there's millions of used books, millions of used CDs, millions of used audio tapes, records, just all that kind of stuff. So
DVD.
If you're looking to clean out and get a little bit of money for all that stuff, go to McKay's, and then I'll bet you leave with more than you took in.
Yeah, Marlene also says, is there anything Fresh Ink Group can't do? We haven't found that yet. Dr. Helen?
Yeah. Marlene, our philosophy has been, well, if we don't know how to do it, let's figure it out. So
let's learn.
Let's learn. Dr. Helen Burrell, PhD, she says, Dr. Aichen Chang Lim, an optometrist owner with her husband of Paramount Family Vision Center, and Helen gives the link to LinkedIn for them there, in California, with the foresight to have become a multi-award-winning author. Oh, how varied and talented are Fresh Ink Group's writers like her. Well, that's a cool comment. Thanks, Helen.
Yeah, and Robert D. Willis-Croft says, my fourth Mac McDowell mission, Operation Whiteout, revolves around Taiwan in the 1980s and its quest for a stable oil supply. It should be out later this year.
Keep going. I'm trying to cough.
Okay, and Verwayne Greenhoe, he says, speaking of the date, did you know that it is 2/2/22? Yes, we did, Verwayne.
I hadn't even paid attention to that.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be a lucky day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All right. So, Aichen, tell us about your family. We know you've got a husband and a couple of kids. Are they grown kids? Are they young kids? Has Gabby got a degree yet? Gabby going to college? Or is she just being a dog? Or what's going on?
She is 8 years old, so she's the second grade. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. About my family, I now think about my childhood a bit. I'm thinking about why I came all the way to the USA, what drive me to come to the USA to study. Actually, it was because my father, when I was 3 years old, my father left home for the USA for his graduate school in Purdue University. Do I say that right? Purdue University in Indiana. So I always remember the day when we send off my father at the airport, right before my father got into the gate, he picked me up and looked into my eyes and told me I had to help my mom to take care of my brother. And my brother only a few months old at the time. So the sense of responsibility and duty embedded me since then. You know, I always feel like whatever I do, am I responsible for it? And those years when my dad was away, we're talking about in 60s, we did not have telephone. And the joy of my mom received my dad's letters. Oh, once in a while, my dad would send telegraphs. They were such a special occasions. So those kind of childhood memories, just so precious. Can I tell you something? Okay, so those four or five years when my dad was away, my mom listened to music a lot, and mostly operas or classical music. And those days we were used like a turntable kind of record player, you know, the kinds with a needle go around and around.
Uh-huh.
And when my mom played Disease Common, I would ask her, what's it about? And she would say, it's about Bad Girl. And then when she played Mozart's San Giovanni, she would say, it's about a bad boy. And for Star Trivia, oh, like a Verdi's La Trivietta, how to say La Trivia? La Traviata, yeah. She said, oh, this is such a sad story. So those kind of music stick in my head. Then now when I grew up, I like Bad Boy, Bad Girl, and those sad story operas. So that how she got me into the love of music. So when my kids growing up, I really want to instill a love of music to them. Unfortunately, my son was born deaf. So it was really helpful for me when the doctor told me my son would never ever call us mommy and daddy because his deafness was so severe. And now this is why I wrote a book, a memoir, A Mother's Heart, to share my experience of raising a special needs child.
Yeah, that's the one that's titled A Mother's Heart, Memoir of a Special Needs Parent.
You know, raising a special needs child, like ADHD or autism, you know, the journey can be lonely. And sometimes you don't know whether you can get through a day. You need some inspirations. And that was the purpose of writing a book, to share my journey with other parents. They need a bit of encouragement. My son was not only deaf, he has ADHD as well. So it was tough. I have a news for you. He has earned his doctorate degree in physical therapy, and he is also a coach in Olympic weightlifting team. So
what was the word? Olympic what?
Olympic weightlifting.
Oh, weightlifting. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's a coach for
wow.
That. So, but I want to, if any parent have any kids need special attention, big attention or small attention, don't get up. Don't feel sad. You know, sometimes the hardest thing is the sadness will kill you. You feel like you just an angry feeling, like, why me? It's not fair. And you look at other kids at the same age, they talk, they are happy, they're doing well, and you just I feel jealous at the time. Compare my son with other kids, but don't be. It's up to all look back. It's a journey. So,
yeah. So
this is about my kids. I have two children, yeah. And the hardest one is my son. Yep.
Okay, and listeners, that book, A Mother's Heart, Memoir of a Special Needs Parent, it's credited as the editor being Susan Hughes, who's a friend of ours and was a guest on this podcast some time back. And Susan Hughes is also a member of G's Writer. So you can find her over at gswriter.com, the website that we run as a writer's resource with information and experts and things like that as well. Susan Hughes, we're all fans of Susan, so it's good to see her out there.
Yeah.
Getting some things done.
Susan actually edited three of my books.
Three of them, okay.
Yeah. I love her. Her work is so good.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's just a great person, too. But, you know, you mentioned your music. In your bio, you said that you do music for photography, dance aerobics. I'm not going to ask you about the big bear hug yet, but I am going to ask you about it. when you say photography, do you take pictures yourself?
I love taking pictures, and I have been trying to learn how to do the video. I have a YouTube so far only. My YouTube channel only 4 or 5 presentations so far, but I'd like to learn it. And yeah, taking pictures it's cool thing.
Do you display them?
How to do it. Huh?
Do you display your pictures anywhere? Is there a way people can see them?
I sometimes post it on the Instagram.
Instagram, okay.
I took some flowers and some scenery. Still working on it. I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
But it's something I enjoy doing it a lot.
Yeah. Beam and I both enjoy doing that as well. Sometimes you see something and it's like, man, I just got to take a picture of that. And
yeah.
Instagram is a great place to park them because then, you know, people can
yeah.
leave notes like, what'd you take a picture of that for? You know.
Yeah. I use Flickr as well.
You know the question about picture, taking picture, is sometimes you just shift a little bit angle and it came out so different.
Yeah.
You know, the light, you just move a little bit, the lightings and the presentation and the composition. Just let the picture give you a different emotions, different
yeah.
mood, you know?
Yeah. Especially that lighting. Yeah. You know, as
yeah.
I was a TV producer for a long time, so I'm used to having a lighting crew. So every time we're looking at something, it's like, oh, let's, you know, throw some shadows over here and light up this part here and let's add some glow and stuff like that. But when I'm out just taking pictures, that's a whole different world. You got to find that angle where the sun's going to get it just right for you. And, you know, you can bark orders all day and there's nobody in the gaffer's union that's going to do anything for you with that sun. So, yeah, photography, that's a lot of fun. And you do the dance aerobics too?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I do it at least 5 days a week.
Cool.
This how I keep my energy going. Quite a few years ago, I signed up for gym membership for 2 years. I was really, really aggressive at the time. But in 2 years, I only went there for less than a handful. I find out if I want to really do exercise, a workout regularly, I had to do it at home. Anytime I feel, yeah. So I do dance aerobic. I follow some YouTube has a lot of good programs for dance fit. And I used to buy the disc.
Follow it.
Yeah. You know, it's fun to move your body with music and exercise. You know, 45 minutes a day actually makes a big difference. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah,
definitely.
It does.
Now, we need to roll a couple of more commercials here. We're going to go ahead, and since There Must Be Something in the Water is our number one and number two bestseller in print this week, we're going to go ahead and roll that commercial. And beware, Aichen, when we come back, we're going to want to know what it is about a big bear hug that you like so much.
Okay.
A small rural community in the Lowcountry along Ocean Highway Green Pine, South Carolina, has long lacked cultural and educational opportunities for its young people's future success. Many have gone on to serve in the highest levels of education, government, public service, elected office, business, and medicine. With so much success against the odds, surely there must be something in the water. Abigail Hugeni chronicles the impact just 42 of Green Pond's children have gone on to make in the world. All full-color editions include photos from around town and local translations of down-home sayings. These inspirational stories prove that, regardless of one's background, we can all find our own path toward greatness. An excellent reference, keepsake, gift, and addition to every library. There Must Be Something in the Water, anthology of the fourth generation, descendants of Green Pond, after the emancipation, is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
best-selling author Gwen M. Plano presents The Culmination, A New Beginning, the final book in the Contracts thriller series. In the first book, co-penned by best-selling author John W. Howell, the Earth is threatened with a catastrophic event, and Heaven's leadership intervenes with extraordinary measures to ensure the survival of the planet. In Book 2, The Choice, a confidential team uncovers a traitorous conspiracy that has as its goal world domination. The pressing question is, who can be trusted and who cannot? The Culmination, A New Beginning brings the Contract thriller trilogy to a close. After an assassination attempt on an Air Force base in Northern California, tensions mount. Heads of state meet to craft a denuclearization agreement. The meetings between these nuclear powers take a murderous turn. A nefarious conspiracy reemerges and leads the characters into the heart of the Middle East, where they encounter the unexpected and find a reason for hope. Grab your copy now of The Culmination, A New Beginning by Gwen M. Plano. Available worldwide in hardcover, paperback, and all major ebook formats. The Culmination is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
Now, both of those commercials have videos over in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube. And if you go to gsandweeks.com, you can also see all of our videos there as well.
Yeah. Now, Aichen, what's your writing process like? You know, when do you write? How do you write? Do you have a special room in your house that you write in, a special time?
Listen to music while you write?
Do you listen to music while you write? Or are you like me, you have to have silence?
I have a room for myself. So I usually write in my study room. For the music, I use music to get me into the mood. Like if I want to write a very sad scene, I listen to Schindler's List or some, you know, the music can get you into the certain kind of mood, happy mood, sad mood, then get me into it. My writing process, I write with three steps, three parts, traditional three parts, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And when I start to design a story, I use pens and paper. And once I got the big pictures of the story down, then I start to outline it. Each chapter, the chapters under each part. Then I have the rough ideas of each chapter. Then I start to write it. During the writing process, I change. It's not like a set in stone. I would change, adjust to it. And I don't do a lot of editing through I'm writing because it would interrupt or disrupt my thoughts, my train of thoughts. So I kind of write it through, then do the editing at the end. Yeah. Hmm.
An outliner after my own heart.
Now, do you have a word count per day that you write, or do you write when you feel like writing?
Oh, you know, now I'm semi-retired. I try to get into the habit of writing every day. Before, I only write during the weekend. Now I write every day, but I don't have a word count. I'm more like go for the subject I want to focus on. The book I'm working on now is nonfiction, so I have to do a lot of research. even though most of the research has been done. But when I got to a certain point, I was saying, I think I need further research, and I need to know more. Then I went back to do more study in a certain area. So if I set a work count for a day, sometimes usually I feel too pressured without thinking, writing. Fishing and non-fishing is a little bit different. So now I'm in a non-fiction. I did a lot of research for my subjects. No work count, but I already pretty much the six parts, which what I want to write under each part, needs all done. The big structure has been done.
Am I making sense? Yeah. Do you involve other people in that process, like beta readers? We know you've worked with Susan Hughes as an editor. Do you get feedback? Do you go to people for technical information to help with your research? Is there anybody else you work with, or is this pretty much just a solo project until you're ready to share it with somebody like Susan Hughes?
The last book, Your Precious Sight, after I finished my first draft, I have some of my classmates and friends read through to make sure all the things I have writing is up to date. And they provide me some of the feedback, and I'm grateful. The fictionary book, the fiction book, no, I did not have the beta reader.
Okay. Well, now the book that you just referred to before that, Your Precious Sight, An Optometrist's Most Memorable Cases. And I'm very intrigued by that. What could we expect if we open the cover to that book and start reading? What kind of stuff is it? Is it stories, examples? What's this about?
Okay, this book, you know, you can read like a chain of short stories.
Okay.
I use the stories to tell the eye condition. So it's not dry. Actually, it's interesting, easy to read, and those are the cases I have encountered in last 3 decades. The purpose of this book is let readers understand it's important to have a regular, comprehensive eye exam. And each eye condition was presented through the case, how the real patients, but of course not a real name. So I want reader to know, eye exam is not just checking a prescription of your glasses or contact lenses, but a thorough checkup of health of eyes. A lot of eye conditions, if we don't check it, you don't know you have it, because eyes are part of our body. Anything affects our body can affect our eyes as well. Many times, an eye doctor can detect the systemic eye conditions like pressure or diabetes, just looking on the back of the eyes. I have seen several cases of patients, the back of the eyes was bleeding because of diabetics. Then patient was not aware of they are having diabetics. So I had to refer the patient to the primary care eye doctor for blood test and physical exam. And chronic glaucoma, this another eye disease, the only way you can catch up in the early stage is through an eye exam.
Mm-hmm.
The diseases like this, without regular checkup and catch up in the early stage. I don't mean to scare people, but they can cause blindness. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So each case is presented as a story.
Okay.
It's very great. And how about children? This is something I'm really passionate about. The National Eye Institute recommends every child should have an eye exam before 3 years old or before entering into a preschool. The idea is to catch any eye problem that can interfere with a child's learning and academic performance as early as possible.
Yeah, sometimes that's all the difference in the world. You got a child who's not seeing properly, and everybody thinks, you know, he or she's just goofing off, not doing the work or not understanding or whatever, and sometimes it's just can't see.
And
they don't know. They don't know they can't see. You know, they're young. They don't have anything to compare it to.
Exactly. It's like a lazy eyes or color deficiency. One of the kids I had in the book is the mother was not understand why these kids have teaching him so many weeks about color, and he still cannot tell a color. So, you know, for like this, if we pick up early, then the teachers and parents can understand, and we can help the kids. And later on, we can guide the kids to like career counseling. You know, it can help our kids to grow, to bloom, instead of broken.
Yeah. Sounds like a fascinating book. Your other, your most recent book is called The Love Lock. What is that about?
Oh, The Love Lock? Can I backtrack a bit? So my first two books, Love, A Tangle Knot, and Flipping, Those are romantic, inspirational genre. There are twists and turns, but very clean. Those are clean love book, love stories, and good for teens and young adults. The Love Luck is my fourth book. And even it's in the genre of inspirational romance, I approach it somewhat differently. It's darker and has more spiritually involved than the first three books. And they are provocative languages and a few sexual scenes. So what I'm trying to look at is more like touch the R-rated part. Just give a listener warning. So The Love Luck, the title, is a suspenseful love story. The central theme of The Love Luck is a revolves around a mental illness. There are scenes describe the pain and the pain of depression, post-traumatic stress disorders, the suffering. So the story begins with a beautiful day by the beach. The main character, Dylan, gives Violet a love lock, and he holds the key, and they declare their love. But then a terrible tragic tears them apart right before their wedding day, literally right before their wedding. So we said that Violet suffered the mental breakdown and ended up become a stripper and drug addict. She becomes suicidal.
Oh, no.
At the same time, they are married to his nurse because he thought it's no chance to get back to Violet's love. And he ended up trapped in a marriage just because he felt responsible for he's the wife. The wife, right after the marriage, she developed MS.
Oh.
That's why it's kind of the comment about the readers, it's kind of dark, but eventually they get back. There was a long story how they come back, and it ended up very inspirational.
Hmm. Well, I see in my notes here that you're working on another book now called Better Than Pornography. So you've got me in suspense. What's better than pornography?
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, I know. It sounded pretty provocative, huh?
That sells books.
Yeah. You know, the target audience is adolescents and young adults between age 10. Conversational style, like I'm chatting with them over a cup of tea or coffee. Of course, the content includes the age is pretty challenging about the beginning of the puberty, the sexual maturation, sexualities. Yeah, they are part of it, sex. And then it talk about the discord between teenagers and parents. It's much more than just a hormone. It's something else. And also, I touch the adolescents, teenagers, and young adults' mental health, like depression, anxiety, and eating disorder, and why they are so prone to have this kind of struggle. At the end of the last part of the book, we concluded with how to be resilient and move from childhood toward a positive adulthood and have a bright outlook. Yeah,
wow, that sounds wonderful.
There are images. Seriously, there are images. Included in the books, so go figure. What kind of images?
Now, Aichen, how do you come up with your covers? Do you create them, or do you have someone that does it for you?
For my three books, was done by Eva Lancaster. She is a person. She helped the indie authors. So. Yeah, I try to do book cover, but mine don't come out too good. Eva has done a great job.
Very nice covers. Do you want to say her name again so people can get it?
Eva, E-E-V-A, Lancaster. Lancaster?
Lancaster? I got you. Lancaster. Okay. Eva Lancaster. Eva with two E's. So, good book cover people are, you would think they'd be easy to come by, but they're really not. When you go out looking, there's a lot of them there that really aren't that good. But, you have some very nice covers. Do you have any advice to authors, Aichen?
The authors?
Yeah, to authors, other writers who want to be another Aichen Chang Lim.
Oh, gosh, you're so kind. I would say if anybody aspired or inspired to be a writer, there are a few things. Someone asked me how to become a writer. I say first, enjoy and pay attention to whatever you are doing at, either at work or off work. Be sensitive to your surroundings. For example, like if you're standing on the line of McDonald's or in a bank, just look around and start to think, how am I going to write this scene? And the people, you look at the people next to you, say, if this person in my book, how am I going to describe this person? Just kind of mental exercises. And whatever you do, big or small, good or bad, they're all going to end up help you and enhance your writing. So like I was an Avon lady selling Avon for a while, and then I was able to put it into my book, not like selling Avon, but selling something else. And I was editing for a while, so my editing experience helped me to write The Love Luck, because The Love Luck has the auditioned and scenes and acting scenes. So first, just kind of start to pay attention to your surroundings, and then listen to conversations. I find out writing a dialogue is difficult for me because my mother tongue is not English. So I had to really work on that part and paying attention to the conversation, even on the TV or people around you, that helps a lot. Mm. Of course, a writer needs to read a lot too. You know, when you have a chance to read, I enjoy reading all kind of genre. Even a simple pamphlet I found in a doctor's office, I would pick it up and study the writing style and think, is this what I like?
Mm-hmm.
And then once you start write, I say don't concern too much about being grammatically or sentence structurally correct, which I was got into a trap when in the beginning when I started to write, because the grammar, English grammar is so hard. But now I say, you know, just write with your heart, your soul. Just tell a story. Just let the story flow. And the editing comes later. I know Susan Hugh will help me with editing later, so I don't worry so much about it.
Yeah.
And important to enjoy the process of writing, though. If I'm set up the goal, I want to be a bestseller. Whoa, and it'll just kill all the fun. You know, don't put so much pressure on myself, on yourself. The more you write, the better you will become. That's how I learned from my own experience. And one more thing. I think to be friends with other writers, it will help you. Nowadays, you can find a lot of writer groups in Facebook, and you can connect with them, support the group you like, and others will support you. You know, this kind of support will help you to go through the tough time. You know, writing can be really lonely. You know, I'm sure many writers feel this way too. And the last thing I want to say, just do it, just write. Yeah, I know sometimes like, I wait for another day to write. But when you have a story, you know, you don't have to really write on a computer or whatever. Get a notebook, start to jot down all the story, the inspiration you have, the idea you have. They will come in handy when you need it.
That's all. That's excellent advice. You had me smiling when you said that. You know, you're the type that you go somewhere and you'll pick up a pamphlet and then study the technique and stuff. I'm one of those too, and I'm proofread everything. I mean, there's nothing that's in writing that I'm not proofreading while I'm looking at it. It's like like today, I had my meeting with my surgeon. They gave me a form to fill out. Nobody was amused when I stood up and demanded to know whose point of view is this form in. You know.
Yeah, you say, oh my gosh, these are wrong grammar, these are wrong words, right?
Exactly, yeah. But
But we do take it to heart. What you said about connecting with other writers, that's one of the things we're trying to do with this podcast. And that's one of the things we try to do with Fresh Ink Group. And, you know, sometimes you're going to find a kindred soul out there who really understands what you're trying to do with writing. And you know, you want to get in touch with that person and maybe develop a little bit of a connection or a relationship. And some of those people might want to get in touch with you.
So how can they get in touch with you? Where can they find you on social media, like blog, website, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter?
Yes. I have a Instagram. I have a Twitter, Facebook. Even though there are days I find those social media can be a little bit time-consuming. You just have to be very strategically budget the time and then set up the time. And then for social media, for writing, so don't mess up. Otherwise, you get frustrated, like, what am I going to do? Yeah.
What can you tell us your handles? Like, how do they find you on Twitter and Instagram, for example? What do they look for? Aichen Chang Lim, or is your handle different?
Yeah. Just Aichen Chang Lim.
Okay.
Very simple. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you on the social media. You know, there's days where you start to get caught up on Twitter, and it's a two-hour process, and it's like, you know, that takes a long time. I could be using that 2 hours for writing.
Yeah, you know what? It's almost like I have to write down on the calendar from what time to what time for social media, from what time to what time. I had to write. I had to sit and write. Nothing else. Turn off all the for the phones and laptop, none of that laptop, iPad, iPhone, just computer. But some people write with laptop, law.
Hi, Jen. It's been fun having you on the show. We've pretty much used up our time. We'd like to have you back again sometime, especially next time you put out another book. This has definitely been fascinating, and we appreciate it.
Yes.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoy it. I have fun. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for taking time out on your Wednesday to be with us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, if you're not seeing the newsletter, and this applies to everybody out there, if you've subscribed to the newsletter and you're not seeing it, it's every Wednesday morning at about 7 in the morning in the eastern half of the U.S., a little bit later in the rest of the country, or around the world, obviously. Check your spam folder. And if you're not sure if you've subscribed, go subscribe again, because we use MailChimp, and MailChimp will merge your two subscriptions back into one again. So get out there, get that newsletter, keep up with Aichen Chang Lim and all of our authors and all of our guests, and look forward to next week. We're going to have Abigail Hugh Guinea as our guest. She's the author of There Must Be Something in the Water. And then after that, Beam?
Carlisle Toms, he's a return guest. He's an author, and he's an all-around interesting guy, so tune in for that.
Yeah, he's also the host of his own podcast, which is very cool. After that, we're going to have singer-songwriter Frankie Ray, and we're going to listen to a little bit of her music and find out what she's all about.
And then following that, we have, g'day there, Australian writer A.K. Ollis. he'll be calling in from Perth, Australia. So he'll be a day ahead of us. We can ask him, you know, some questions about what can we look forward to tomorrow.
What should we invest in? And then on March 23rd, we're going to do a crossover. I'm going to be the guest on Ron and Joan Carter's video podcast, where you meet authors for an hour. And the second that ends, I'm going to jump over and then be host on this podcast. And our guest that night will be Ron and Joan Carter. So they are novelists and podcast hosts and very interesting people we've known for a lot of years. So we're really looking forward to that. So we're going to wrap up today and thank Aichen again. And before roll our closing, we're going to roll our last two commercials. So, you know, we pretty much covered the show today. If you want to stick around here, a couple more commercials, great. Otherwise, thanks again, Aichen. We look forward to talking to you.
Thank you for having me. I have fun. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. See you, everybody.
Now, from popular Christian romance author Jeannie Sharp, A Chance to Choose. The life of a baker had been his dream since college, but a deep void surfaces every morning when Ben looks at himself in the mirror. Why, at 29, has he not been able to find the woman of his dreams? His boss and owner of Camden Bake Shop, Chloe, keeps pestering him about dating. Then, an old fling mails him a plane ticket to London, except turmoil draws him back home to Virginia. Does Ben get the chance to go to London? With three women suddenly interested, will Ben ever be able to choose? A Chance to Choose is book three of the Second Chances series by Christian romance and children's book author Jeannie Sharp. A Chance to Choose is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, paperback, and all ebook formats from Kindle to Kobo to Nook and Google Play. A Chance to Choose is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Grab your copy of A Chance to Choose today.
Fresh Ink Group presents, from author Stephen Gies, Been There, Noted That, Essays in Tribute to Life, Observations, Inspiration, Remembrance, and Noteworthies to Share. The simple lives of everyday people in a mundane world prove extraordinary in this collection of 54 personal experience essays by novelist Stephen Gies. The eclectic mix of memoir, commentary, humor, and appreciation covers a wide range of topics, each illustrated by artists and photographers from the Fresh Ink Group. Many of these essays have appeared in other book anthologies such as Chicken Soup, or in popular magazines, newspapers, websites, and the author's site, www.stephengies.com. Some appear in this collection for the first time. Some pieces may resonate in ways that touch you deeply. Others might well remind you of people you've known and loved. Some convey direct messages you might want to pass along, such as appreciation for friendship, birthday wishes, and graduation congratulations. Several explore remembrance, a way to share our search for meaning as we grieve. From cautionary tales to poignant pokes at our uniquely human foibles, Gies catches what many of us miss, then considers how we might all share the most poignant of lessons. Been There, Noted That aims to reveal who we are, examine where we've been, and discover what we dare strive to become. Been There, Noted That, Essays in Tribute to Life, is available worldwide in print editions and ebook editions, including iBook, Kindle, Nook, and more. Been There, Noted That is proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. We will see you again next week. Stay safe. Stay warm.
Later.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.